call or the Stevensville Town Council meeting Monday, February 12th, 2018. Do the roll call. Councilperson Barker?
Here.
Councilperson Holcomb?
Here.
Councilperson Smith?
Here.
Councilperson Michelson?
Here.
Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, first item of business tonight is the approval of minutes from January 22nd's Town Council meeting and February 5th's Committee of the Whole meeting. Councilperson Michelson.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes from January 22nd, 2018 Town Council meeting and the February 5th, 2018 Town Council meeting. But I would also like to do these separately as the COW meeting was not properly adjourned Wednesday night.
Okay. So would you like to rephrase your motion to just adopt one of them?
Okay, I will. I would like to approve the minutes from the January 22nd Town Council meeting.
Okay. Councilperson Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt the minutes from the January 22nd Town Council meeting. Is there any discussion among the council? Any public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
And Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, is there a motion on the February 5th Committee of the Whole meeting minutes?
There is. I would like to make a motion to approve the February 5th, 2018 Committee of the Whole meeting and have it adjourned properly.
I'm sorry, Bob, I'm not following you. So you're approving the minutes, but to have it adjourned?
It was never properly adjourned Wednesday night.
Okay, but what does that have to do with approving the
minutes? Well, how can we approve the minutes of a meeting that hasn't been closed yet? It was never adjourned. Committee as a whole. I know it's new territory, I'm just saying it wasn't properly adjourned. There was no second, there was no vote.
That doesn't help me for tonight, so I'm not sure how to even word this, Bob.
Well, that's why. Okay, let's just close the February 5th, 2000 committee as a whole meeting.
So, I'm still not following you. So, you're making a motion to approve the minutes or not approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the 2018 February 5th Committee of the Whole meeting.
As presented? Or?
As presented.
All right.
Is there a second for the motion? Councilperson Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from the February 5th Committee of the Whole meeting. Is there any discussion from the council? Any public comment? Mr. Michelson.
Mr. Mayor, do you think to be formal that we should have a second on that motion and have a vote to make it a formal adjournment of that COW meeting, as we do every other meeting?
It's the council's meeting. If the council deems that that's necessary, I can facilitate that process. But I think, you know, we're well over, or we're into 7 days now where the meeting's not been held, so I guess I just don't understand the process. But if that's, it's the council's meeting. If they deem it needs to be closed tonight, we can close the meeting. Councilperson Michelson.
I would deem that we properly close the meeting, just so it's done on the right regular order.
Okay. Councilperson Holcomb.
I'll second that.
Okay, so if I understand, you're moving to close the Town Council meeting or the Committee of the Whole meeting on February 5th, 2018.
Correct.
And it's been seconded by Councilperson Holcomb.
Correct.
Okay. Well, is there any further comment from the council? Councilperson Michelson.
Yes, the way it was is Mayor Dooley adjourned the meeting and walked out of the room. There was no second from any member of the CAL, and there was no vote, as there is as every other meeting that I've ever been to in my over 2 years of council meetings.
Okay. Any further comment? Any public comment? Right.
I'm really sorry. I'm just not getting this. So you made a motion to properly adjourn the committee of the whole meeting from February 5th at tonight's meeting. It's not on the agenda.
I'm just trying to get it so it's legal. More legal than to me, the committee of the whole meeting as it was done last Wednesday night was not properly.
I think by approving the town council meeting, the February 5th committee of the whole meeting minutes, by approving those minutes, you have effectively closed that meeting.
Okay. I strike my motion then.
Okay, the motion's been withdrawn. Is there any further discussion on the approval of February 5th committee of the whole meeting minutes? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Michelson.
No.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Next item on the agenda is approval of the biweekly claims. Claims have been submitted. Councilperson Holcomb.
I move that we approve of biweekly claims.
Okay. Is there a second? Councilperson Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims. Is there any discussion from the council? Councilperson Holman.
Page 3, 14208 for Corrales Fire Wool District for $1,184.
Chief Motley.
So what that is we are participating in an All Valley Fire Council grant application for the replacement of our SCBA breathing apparatus. We've gone in with the rest of the All Valley Fire Council in a grant application to put forward to secure funds to replace our 14 SCBA units that are coming due for replacement. And that is our share of the down payment on paying the grant writer and write the grant.
Thank you.
Any further questions from council on the claims? Yes, Ms. Holt.
Page 4. 14212 Knife River Corporation for $40,484.18.
That is part of the airport project, final closeout on the airport project. And we've got FAA money to cover 90% of that.
Okay.
We pay the bill after we receive the cash, correct?
Correct.
Okay, on that same page. 14216 for $4,221.
Pose for 2510, the unit up at the airport.
Sorry,
you're okay.
Page 5, 14219 for $40,000. For the Missoula Fire Department, is that for the
two new mansions?
There were so many that have such a large amount. That's page 6, 14222 for
$21,824.63. Who is that?
Morrison
Marley. That's the airport project.
Okay.
Are there any further questions from the town council? Is there any public comment on the claims? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Okay, claims are approved. Okay, Thank you. I think there's one place to sign. Okay, we'll move on to administrative reports. Finance Officer April.
So, relatively quiet month in the finance world. Denise has continued her collections efforts and collected an additional $5,000 in past due accounts. And since I posted this, five additional customers have paid their account in full. So the balance is even less than the $28,000 that I at the end of January. The only other, I guess, exciting thing was we did have that surplus auction and we got rid of the vehicles that we had hoped to get rid of. And if you'll scroll a little bit more, the bids that we received, as you can see, was a pretty broad range of pricing. And contrary to popular belief, nobody saw the bids before they were open on the morning of the 1st. These are the bids, the highlighted ones you can see are the winning, the highest bids, and they went to people that we had no association with. I will be, after next meeting, hopefully the budget amendment gets passed, and I will be doing a more in-depth budget actual analysis so we have a good idea of where we sit for the year to date.
Are there any questions for Ms. Fantasia? Okay. Any public questions? Great. Thanks, April. Okay, next report is police. Chief?
It's somewhere in there. Okay, so we're doing a new format, and this is something that the mayor and I worked on to present kind of a more comprehensive report, monthly report. So as you can see, we've been having more incidents of violent offenses, particularly related to drug activity. This unfortunately is a trend that seems to be occurring nationwide. Can you scroll it down just a little bit? To the second paragraph. In particular, there seems to be a bit of correlation also with landlord-tenant issues. There's been a lot of problems with that. Landlords have come and said, what can I do about this? What can I do about this? Obviously, we can't give legal advice, and we point them in the right direction. We can give some information. County Attorney's Office maintains information. I believe they have packets that they give out to landlords that have concerns. There also is legislation that has to do with criminal mischief on rental property. We address those issues as well. But since there's been a lot of property owners asking a lot of questions, I thought it would be appropriate to see if we could host a class for landlords to address their concerns, but also advise them on what the legal protections for tenants are. I think it'll be pretty well attended, and I think it'll be pretty well received. It is something that I have to work through the legal muster, make sure that we're not doing anything inappropriate as far as having particular person or persons teach the class. And this is not a class that's going to be taught by anybody in the police department, unless in particular I address Montana Code with regards to criminal offenses. But it won't be giving legal advice or anything like that. We understand fully that that's something that an attorney has to provide to people. So that's in the works. As far as our stats go, if you could scroll down a little bit more. So this is a new format for the stats, and it's reflective of the workload of the police department. Our NOVA database system puts the information out. It's a little bit difficult to come up with the numbers. We're trying to encourage them to reformat on how they categorize things and how we can present numbers. This information is from our local database, not from the State Board of Crime Control, where we were getting stats previously. So at times they might be subject to change, but this is the best snapshot that we can give of the activities. And as you can see, in 2017, calls for service were 436, citations 255, and that includes warning citations as well, 71 arrests, and then identified particular investigations that occur most frequently, and of course disorderly vandalism, assaults, unfortunately sex crimes occur fairly frequently, burglary, theft, fraud, drug offenses, and DUIs, and those are the reflected numbers. Traffic stops, of course, at the bottom, and if you scroll down a little bit more, we have the last full month summary, speeding offenses, stop signs, and of course this is about traffic. Does anybody have any questions about this format in particular, or concerns, or would you like to see any other information on the report?
Any questions from council? Any questions for the chief and the public?
Thank you.
Thanks, chief.
Thank you.
Public Works, George.
You can see on that, with metering our system, we have lost water. We produce 13 million gallons, we metered 7 million, lost 5. One of the things that we're working on is with getting Kim, Kurt Voss, working with us. We will help work on that to hopefully get our water loss down with some of the studies that he'll help with. On some of those meters that we've done, we're actually replacing some of them because their light on the batteries are going out. So we're having to replace those. They give us new meters at no cost because of the warranty they have on them. I got a couple calls today from people that are getting the letters from us about their leaks, and they're asking questions what to look for and stuff. So I'm helping out with that. We've been doing some cleaning of sewer mains because we've had a couple problems with those. Weekly we check our trouble manholes, and we've caught a couple of them in time to get them cleaned up. And you know, we're doing our sampling that we have to do every month and send that stuff to EQ and the EPA. One of the things we do yearly is our sludge report to the EPA. Streets, we've been kind of lucky. Yeah, we've had ice and we've got potholes, but as far as snow, it hasn't been too bad. We had to pull off our plow that was on the truck due to the wear on it, and we've got our oldest one in place, and we changed everything to actually another truck because it didn't fit that truck. So we changed the plows over, changed the sander over, so we're back in business with that. We tried using some of our millings to fill some of the potholes. Looked like the one on 3rd Street was holding up, but I'm not too sure after this last weekend. I think it's going away.
It's gone. So
I think from Knife River, we might be able to get some cold patch, try and fix some of these potholes, get some of that. Bathrooms, we haven't started anything in the bathrooms yet. There's going to be some extensive remodeling in there that we'll get done. Parks, we've cleaned up trash and stuff. We do have a lot of problems with the dog waste in the parks, even though we do have bags out. So hopefully we can get something addressed by springtime and take care of that. That's all I got.
Any questions from the council for George? Mr. Michelson.
Yes, sir. Yeah, George, I noticed one of your employees just passed the test.
He just passed his water test. He has his distribution test yet to go. He's planning on doing that first part of March.
Okay. I also noticed in there where he is doing fire hydrant testing.
Yep.
Okay.
can't do too much now. We have to look at special days when it's warmer, because we don't want to create an ice problem.
So. I understand. I also see down below where the job description of the general services clerk under the fire department, item 7, says that they are also doing fire hydrant testing. So is it a coordinated effort?
Yep.
Okay.
We always were with Brandon when we did that too.
Right. Okay. Just so I wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, George.
Yep.
Not aware of any guests that are present tonight. Are there any guests that would like to be recognized? Okay. Usually isn't. Correspondence. There's no correspondence to share this evening. We'll move on to public comment. Public comment is a time to share or speak to anything under the town's jurisdiction or on tonight's agenda. You can do so at this time or during the agenda item you wish to speak on. Is there any public comment? Mr. Perrin.
Joe Perrin, 503 Charlotte. I'd like to talk about a little bit early in the agenda to talk about the request for the mayor to resign from the fire department. These thoughts that I'm going to bring to you are my thoughts as a resident and also, you know, as a volunteer firefighter. I'm not speaking on behalf of the fire department itself. During 2017, the volunteers volunteered 8,435 hours, and that averages 200.83 hours for the 42 firefighters volunteers. These hours represent training hours on calls only. They do not represent any administrative work or anything any other volunteer work that they would do. Just hours and actually on calls. That's 16.73 hours per month, and some, of course, average more and some less, but that's an average. While I served on the council for the 4 years, we had an average of 3 meetings per month at an average of 2 hours. That's about 6 hours a month plus, and we had some additional meetings, including COW meetings and other meetings. So I estimated we had about 10 hours per month total. The council now receives a stipend of $200 per month, or about $20 per hour that they volunteer. If we calculate the stipend for the firefighters that they volunteer with an average of 16.73 hours, that's versus 10 hours for the council, that $200 a month would be $100,800. If we paid the firefighters, the volunteer firefighters, $20 per hour for those hours served, that'd be $168,700 it would cost the town. And if we split that with the district, which we probably would, that would be $84,000 for the stipend, $50,000 for the stipend and $84,000 for the hours served if they're paid by the hour. The question is, we have 42 volunteers at this time. Is that adequate coverage? And we'll talk about that just a little bit, because what I'm trying to get through here is how difficult it is and how important it is that we have adequate volunteers to serve the community. The total calls last year were 655 calls total. That includes EMS calls, fire calls, gas leaks, car wrecks, everything. And we answered all of the calls except 25. There's an additional 25 that we're not able to respond to. So of that's just under 700 calls total. Our goal for per call for fires, structure fires, now that's confirmed structure fires, is 18, and we averaged about 8. It was 8. Brush fires, our goal, again, is 18, and we averaged 5. We had 452 EMS calls. Our goal there is 4, and we averaged 3. Now, interestingly enough, we have a goal of 4 because we figured it takes 6 people to do a CPR or a code. And so we ask for fire department, we expect the fire department to provide 4 and the ambulance to provide 2, and that's the 6 that's needed. Now, just recently, we received a grant and got a Lucas 2, which is an automatic electric compressor to do the CPR, so we could maybe back off, you know, one member that were for our goal. So we're pretty close there in the EMS call. So in addition to that, you know, that maybe seemed we're short, but we do have, that's our goal for just our department initially. And then we do have automatic mutual aid agreements with the 4 departments around us. And we typically then, we felt if we could get 18, the rest of it, we would get a number of about 30 firefighters on a structured fire. That's where you need that's where you need the horsepower. And again, we do have automatic aid, and that means automatic. They come as we're paged automatically, and so they get there pretty quick. They just got a little bit longer transport times. Now, the town is required to provide fire protection. That's required. And we've opted to provide that with volunteers. And as you can see, in regard to the number, it makes sense because we just couldn't afford it. However, one of the things I did miss is that when I talked about the stipend or being paid, one of the problems we're having with young families is that they're struggling with financially to make it, and it's harder for them to volunteer. So that is a problem, and that maybe that's a place that, you know, if we meant to something where we partially pay them, you know, we may be able to provide or obtain some more volunteers. Specifically now, what I'm saying is that we need your support. The council and the town needs to support the fire department. And we do, not only in budget, but in some other ways. I'd like to talk a little bit then, just for a minute, about what Brandon has done for the fire department, because that's who we were here asking to resign. Brandon responded to 95 calls in 2017, of which 64 medical calls. He's one of the 2 firefighters that is certified to operate the ladder truck and that is available during the day. He's one of 2. There are 6 total, and there are 2 that work or are available during the day, during the week. He's also a current EMT and a lead instructor. He logged 202 hours in calls and training last year. Now, my sense is that rather than ask someone to resign, I think the town needs to be a leader in allowing employees to be on the volunteer fire department. Because one of the problems we have with daytime response, especially, is we don't have as many businesses, we'll let their people go. The town needs to be a leader in that. Because the town directly is impacted in benefiting those people doing that. The town needs to encourage the businesses, and we'll talk about that in a minute, a little bit. The town needs to be actively encouraging the businesses to let their people go. Now, in regard to, I've heard it bannered around that there's a conflict of interest. And I guess one of the questions I have, and I see the city's attorneys here tonight, I just don't understand how it could be a conflict when Brandon's serving as the mayor and as part of the fire department, which is serving the town. Now, I understand there may be some little quirks in that a little bit, but I don't see how. It seems to me that's all aligned in the right direction to support the fire service for Stevensville. In the end here, I'd like to ask you to consider the following. I'd like you to stop the process to request Brandon to resign from the fire department. I think we should encourage him to respond even more. I think that we need to encourage other town employees to join the fire department if they see they could. We need to encourage business owners to allow employees to respond. Need to show interest in helping the department. Ask the chief what he can do, what we can do for him, or you can do for him, especially in the volunteer section of it. And explore some ideas as how we can get more volunteers and keep them. And last but not least, I I'd ask that you attend our annual banquet to show support of the firefighter.
Thank you. Okay. Any further public comment? Okay. Move on to unfinished business, discussion decision, second reading and adoption of Ordinance 163, Ordinance amending Chapter 16, Part 3, Offenses Against Public Safety, Stevensville, Montana Municipal Code. This was brought to public hearing previous to this meeting, and it's before you tonight. Councilperson Barker.
I make a motion for the second reading and adoption of Ordinance Number 163 and Ordinance amending Chapter 16, Article 3, Offenses Against Public Safety of the Stevensville, Montana Municipal Code.
Councilperson Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt Ordinance 163, amending Chapter 16, Article 3, Offenses Against Public Safety of the Stevensville, Montana Municipal Code. Is there any discussion among the council? Any public comment on the ordinance? Okay, proceed to vote. Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Okay, motion approved unanimously. Thank you. Next agenda item is new business. Agenda item A, discussion decision, council's request of Mayor Dewey to resign from his position. It's a volunteer of the town of Stevensville Fire Department. Councilperson Michelson and Barker. Councilperson Michelson.
I'd like to make a motion to have Mayor Dewey recuse himself from this agenda item as it is directly related to him.
Councilperson Holcomb.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded thus the mayor to recuse himself from the agenda item. Is there any discussion amongst the council? Okay, I have to disagree with you, Bob. I'm not making any decision tonight as far as you guys, I mean, I don't understand why I need to recuse myself.
It's a formality, that's in Robert's rules.
I'm not a voting member of the council, unless there's a tie. And I don't see a tie coming tonight. I could be wrong. If there were a tie, I wouldn't vote. Are you prepared to run this meeting?
Just agenda item, though. That's all. I'm
okay.
Asking you to recuse yourself.
Because I'm simply here to facilitate your process. That's all I'm here to do. I'm not here to sway you one way or another. I'm here. This is your meeting and their meeting. I'm here to facilitate that.
Okay. It's so, been moved and seconded, though, so it has to come before a vote.
Very well. Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Okay. Chair's yours.
Okay. Discussion decision. Council request of Mayor Dewey to resign his position as volunteer of the town of Stevensville Fire Department, Councilmember Michelson and Councilmember Barker. Brandon Dewey, when elected and sworn in as the mayor of the town of Stevensville, did not resign his volunteer position as volunteer firefighter / engineer with the town of Stevensville Volunteer Fire Department. Questions by former Mayor Cruz and the town council were submitted to the town's attorney regarding the compatibility of the mayor being a fire department volunteer. The town attorney has responded several times that the office of mayor and that of being a volunteer for the town of Stevensville Volunteer Fire Departments are incompatible. This advice has been provided to Mayor Dewey. Former Mayor Cruz has asked for additional clarification via an attorney general's opinion. Regardless of an answer from the attorney general, the town council should act regarding the failure of the mayor to resign from the town of Stevensville's fire department. His failure to resign has created a situation where the mayor is potentially receiving compensation from the mayor's office as a mayor and future compensation
and retirement benefits that are accruing simultaneously via the Town of Stephenville Volunteer Fire Department Retirement Plan. As the mayor is also a member of the Town of Stephenville Volunteer Fire Department, he has created a situation where conflicts of interest between the mayor and the Town of Stephenville Volunteer Fire Department may exist due to his refusal to recuse himself from discussing decisions regarding the Town of Stephenville Volunteer Fire Department, which is in direct violation of the Town of Stephenville's council rules. Part 6, Section 3, Paragraph 2 of the Town Council reads, if the presiding officer of the council has an interest in the matter pending before the council as defined by the laws of the state of Montana or as advised by the town attorney, he or she shall yield the chair to a member of the council during the course of the debate and decision concerning the matter in which he or she has an interest. As a member of the fire department, the member would have an interest in any discussion, decision regarding the fire department as a normal matter of business. In accordance with the Town of Stephenville's personnel policy manual, a volunteer is a person who gives their services to the town without any express or implied promise or remuneration. All Town of Stephenville volunteers have no guarantee of employment and no property right to a position, volunteer or otherwise, with the town. In their role as Town of Stephenville volunteers, a volunteer is a representative of the town and therefore is guided by and subject to the town's personnel policy. A volunteer relationship can be terminated at any time by the Town of Stephenville. The Town of Stephenville Personnel Professionalism Policy, Chapter 46 of the Town of Stephenville Personnel Policy Manual. From the Town of Stephenville Personnel Policy Manual, a volunteer in their role as a volunteer of Stephenville is a representative of the town and therefore is guided by and subject to the town's personnel policy. You get down to the code of ethics, it goes into compliance and applicable government laws, rules and regulations, accountability for adherence to this code. Employees at all times will interact with all elected officials, town officers, department heads and other supervisors without being insubordinate. Act at all times with honesty and integrity, avoiding actual or apparent conflicts of interest in personnel and professional relationships. Discuss with their supervisors in advance any transaction that reasonably could be expected to give a rise of a conflict of interest. Comply with the town's personnel policy manual. Act in good faith with due care and diligence and without knowingly. It goes down to conflict of interest. B. 1. The underlying principle of conflict of interest is that employees should avoid any activity, investment, or interest that might reflect unfavorably on the reputation of the town of Stephenville. As representatives of the town of Stephenville, employees are obligated to place an interest in the town in any transaction involving the town ahead of any personnel interest or personal gain, and to disclose all facts in any situation where a potential conflict of interest may arise. Employees may not engage in a transaction, use public or confidential information, improperly influence a decision or transaction, or take any other action in regard to their position as an employee of the town of Stephenville that would create a personal, economic, or benefit to the employee. Item 4 above, employees are expected to seek clarification and discuss any questions about potential conflict of interest with their supervisor and the mayor. As a mayor of the supervisor of all town employees, he cannot consult himself regarding his own activities as a volunteer. The town attorney has rendered the opinion that the mayor's office and that of a volunteer are incompatible offices, leading one to believe that the mayor must resign as a volunteer in order to avoid any conflicts of interest. We go down into the violations. I won't get into them again, but I will go down to these are two letters from the Attorney General's office. One was the opinion request of incompatible offices. The Attorney General has referred your letter to August 21st, 2009 to me for response. The question you raised is controlled by earlier opinion of this office, and we have therefore determined that the letter of advice rather than a formal opinion is appropriate in response. Your letter informs us that an employee of the City Public Works Department currently sits as an elected official of the Colstrip City Council, and that another such employee seeks election to the council. You ask whether the doctrine are incompatible offices, or they prevent these city employees from serving on the council. Colstrip operates under a self-government charter. Your letter states that the Public Works Department is managed by a director appointed by the mayor with the consent of the council. The City Council sets both policy and budgets for the Public Works Department. Accordingly, council members, including the Public Works Department, employee that issue at your request could exercise significant control over the policies and budgets of the department and its director, including the power to vote and approve the director's appointment. Offices are incompatible when one has power of removal over the other, when one is in any way subordinate to the other, when one has power to supervision over the other, or when the nature and duties of two officers are such as to render it improper from consideration of public policy when one person retains a vote. State X, RL, Click versus Whitmore, Montana, 22, 24, 25, 144, blah, blah. For the reasons that follow, I conclude that I clearly would contravene public policy and to allow an employee in the Public Works Department to sit as a member of the council. Attorney General Mazurek addressed the same situation you present in 47 op. Attorney General number 19 of 1998, holding an employee of the Glendive Public Works Department could not simultaneously serve as member of the City Council. The option noted the public policy problem, which occurs when an employee's elected position has reversionary power over the employee's superior in another position. The situation described in your letter raises this concern. Other public policy problems are apparent. Your letter states that as council members, the employee will abstain from voting on matters directly affecting Public Works Department. If two department employees serving on a council were to abstain from voting regarding a department matter, significant problems could arise under legislative procedures set forth in the charter. The charter gives the power, mayor power to veto ordinance, charter non. I also note the charter requires that the final reading of an ordinance, three of the four council members must be read for approval. It goes on, and he says that in his conclusion that these are incompatible. When they adopted the charter, the citizens of Colstrip expected that the legislature procedures they adopted would be fully effective and workable. They intended that four council members would exercise the city's legislative power. With respect to any question involving the Public Works Department, including the adoption of the city budget, the council that included department employee could not function in the way the citizens intended. The holding of 47 op. Attorney General 19 dictates that the employment with the City Public Works Department is incompatible with the service as a member of the council. I hope you will find this helpful. This advice is not considered a formal opinion by the Attorney General. And the second one here is more related to us as far as firefighter EMT service on town council. We have requested an opinion regarding the application of doctrine of incompatibility of offices as analyzed in 47 of Attorney General number 19, 1998 to a situation in which an employee of the town's firefighter EMT department had been elected to the town council. Since the cited opinion directly addresses this issue, it has been determined that the letter of advice rather than a formal opinion is appropriate in response to your request. In the opinion, Attorney General Mazurek held in pertinent part that a city public works director and employee of a city public works department may not serve on the city governing body. The opinion relied on the common law doctrine of incompatibility of offices, which holds that public employment and public office holding are incompatible when the powers of the office include control and supervision over the position of the employment. In this case, the town government has a power to establish and promulgate rules governing the employment of member or employees of the town's fire department, Montana Code and on 733-4121. Moreover, the town government has, among other things, certain powers with respect and suspension of firefighters, Montana Code and on 733-4124. The power to determine the number of firefighters employed, Montana Code and on it, and to set forth the compensation of firefighters within limits set by law, Montana Code and on 733-4127-4128. Under these circumstances, the concerns regarding a council member being both supervisor and supervised, as explained in this opinion, would seem to be quite compelling. 47 off Attorney General number 19, 1999, has not been overturned by the court and the legislatures, has left holding undisturbed despite the passage of four legislative sessions since this opinion was issued. It remains authoritative, in my view, controls the questions you pose. It therefore is my opinion that the office of town council member is incompatible with the employee as a member of the town firefighter EMT department. This letter of advice is not considered a formal request by the Attorney General. Of course, I scroll down and I'm just putting there where firefighters do accrue a retirement plan. It is compensation. It's not much, but it is over time. And by law, a city employee cannot collect two different salaries from the same, which is considered compensation. Also, if you read down, re-email, this was on Thursday, November 9th of 2017, where our city attorney, Brian West, addressed issues regarding the volunteer fire department and the mayor. To your specific questions, Brandon's position of general service clerk under the mayor's office is clearly incompatible given that he is insubordinate. That he is subordinate to the mayor's supervision and draws dual compensation, which you can't do, of course. The volunteer firefighter position makes me hesitate a bit more in giving a simple answer because application of the factors seems split. First, it is not compensated, and second, I would question whether public policy would find the mayor volunteering his time and services to firefighting to be improper. However, uncompensated positions have been previously found to be incompatible with the elected positions. The Attorney General found the doctrine barred a hospital employee from serving as an uncompensated hospital board trustee in 47 AG OP 19, 1996. And clearly, the mayor's office has supervisory control over a volunteer position in appointment by 6733-4706. And suspension of both position and the supervisor by 57-334123. This is once again a more difficult call because the ultimate decision on the suspension goes to the town council and not the mayor under the guidelines of 67-334124. I will err on the side of caution with it being an incompatible office. It is a question where the Attorney General's opinion and request may provide a clear answer, but one which may take up to 3 months to get a request. And if you go down, once again, you'll see that he has said it. And in an email to me, which was last Friday, but anyway, in an email to me from Mr. West, which he can confirm, he for the third time said that the two positions were incompatible. Basically, a mayor can't wear two hats. A mayor that is serving on the volunteer fire department is the department head who is Jeff Motley's boss. Mayor Dewey is his department head, and then when Mayor Dewey takes his suit off to be a mayor, he goes over to the next office And then Jeff Motley becomes Mayor Dewey's boss. And I know that sounds funky, but it's the law. And by this, that should make the two offices incompatible. Did you have anything to add, Brian?
No, I don't have anything to add. You've already related what I've conveyed to the town.
So.
That last email from last Friday number two is not in this packet.
No, I know, I didn't get it.
Could you forward that to me?
I can.
Tomorrow so we can include it?
Yes, I can. I couldn't even open our website right now, That's why I'm in the Dropbox. Down to the last part, which is section 46, D, violations. Violations of the professionalism policy, including failure to report potential violations by others, will be viewed as a severe disciplinary matter that may result in personnel action, including termination of employment. As the mayor has been asked to recuse himself regarding potential conflicts of interest regarding the fire department, he has refused to do so and has acted contrary to the advice of the town's attorney. And the mayor continues to accrue fire department retirement benefits while continuing as a volunteer for the town of Stephenville Fire Department. This may be in violation of MCA 2-205, ethical requirements for public officers and public employees. Requirements in this section are intended as rules of conduct, and violations constitute a breach of public trust and public duty of public office or employment in state or local government. Except as provided in subsection 4, a public officer, a public employee, may not inquire an interest in any business or understanding that the officer or employee has reason to believe they may directly or substantially be affected by its economic benefit or official action to be taken by the other or employee's agency. In conclusion, this town council has no choice but to request Mr. Mayor Dewey to resign as a member of the town of Stephenville Fire Volunteer Fire Department. Mayor Dewey is requested to render his decision within writing in one working day. I would also like to add that last year we had a situation where Chief Motley applied to be on a position on the city council. An email was sent to the Attorney General's office and MMIA. And within 6 hours, response came back, as Jeff knows, which said that it was a direct conflict of interest that the department head or fire chief could not sit on a town council because it was a direct conflict of interest. So my position would be the rules are just basically reversed. You have a mayor sitting here. He's on the volunteer fire department. So why would it be any different for the mayor to be on the volunteer fire department when the state attorney general and the MMIA had determined last year that Chief Motley could not? I'll open comments to the council.
We need to make a motion.
Oh, we need to make a motion.
Thank you.
Is there a motion? Councilmember Holcomb.
I move that we request the Mayor Dewey to resign his position as a volunteer of the Town of Stevensville Fire Department.
Is there a second? Councilmember Barker.
Second motion.
It's been first and seconded that the council request of Mayor Dewey to resign his position as volunteer of the Town of Stevensville Fire Department. Councilmember Michelson and Councilmember Barker. Any comments from the council?
Sorry. Mm-hmm. So before you got to the motion, you read a whole nother statement. That wasn't included in the packet.
Okay.
So.
You can strike it if you want.
No, but I'm just asking that we get that so we can include it in the packet. Because we don't have that. The public doesn't have that. It wasn't included in here, so.
I asked Attorney Brian West if he needed that, and he felt at the time that he had enough information that he did not need.
And I'm not talking about Brian, I'm just for the public. It needs to be included in the public record what he read. That's what I'm asking for, Bob.
Okay.
It's open for public comment?
I would like to open it for public comments, and I would also asked that the council I'd like to make a motion that the public, due to the crowd and the size, that the comments be limited to 3 minutes and people to be up to the podium twice.
Second that motion.
Been moved and seconded that we limit the time of the public's comments to 3 minutes.
I'm really sorry. Are you making a motion?
No, I asked. He seconded, but I should have been. There should have been a motion.
So there wasn't really a motion. So are you just opening the floor to public comment? You don't need a motion for that.
Okay. We'll open it for public comments, but I would like it to be
limited.
Limited to 3 minutes per person, and for each person just come up there twice only, due to time constraints. So I'll open it to public comment. Mayor Mott, Chief Motley.
Not quite the mayor, just the chief, but thank you anyway. Through the long list of documentation that you read off, and you read off a whole bunch of NCA codes, that were in an opinion that was given to the town of Colstrip. If you go on down through the NCA code, or actually go back up through the NCA code, you'll find code 7-33-4110. Volunteer companies are not affected. Nothing contained in 7-33-4101 through 7-33-4104, 7-33-4106 through 7-33-4108. 7-33-4112, 7-33-4113, 7-33-4122 through 7-33-4125 and 7-33-4127, which you will find are all the codes that were referenced in the opinion, shall not be held or construed to affect any fire organization known as a volunteer fire company. Those codes really apply to a class 1 and 2 city or a town. We're not under those same laws and guidelines as Colstrip and the other opinions that were up there. So to base your decision tonight on those codes and those facts may not be entirely true. It may not be a real valid thing for you to do. So I'd like to bring that to your attention before your decision is made. I think it'll be clear.
Jan, here.
My name is Jan Perrin, and I live at 503 Charlotte, Stevensville. Due to my eyes and lighting, I have a statement, and I would like the permission to have someone read this for me, please, from the council.
I'll read it for you, Jan.
this is for Jen Perrin. I would like to speak to the importance of volunteers in a small community. Without them, Stevensville would not be where most of us choose to live. Robin, you are a volunteer in the Civic Club and the Cancer Association. Stacy, you are a volunteer organizer of the Farmers Market. Raymond, your volunteer hours were vital in developing the skate park. Bob, I don't mean to not include you. I'm just not aware of your volunteer commitments. Volunteers help make our community. The fire department volunteers answer our calls every day. In the history of our town, we have had a fire chief serve on our council for close to 20 years or more. I would guess firemen on council. Never has a council asked them to resign. You are the first. Maybe it isn't the perfect situation, but in small communities, we need every volunteer willing to give so generously of their time. I'm confident that should an issue arise, it would be professionally worked out. In this case, you are asking one of the few daytime responders to resign. If you follow through, I hope if you ever have need for their services, one will be available. Until there is a tragedy, your decision tonight may not seem like a big deal, but you may be held accountable by your community. No council cannot afford to support their fire department in any way possible. Respectfully, Jan Perrin.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me,
John.
Jan.
Thank you.
Jan Perrin, 1םװװם││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││││
Mr. Lou Barnett.
.419 College, Chief of Police here for 21 years, and Mayor, and I don't have a dog in this fight, okay? I haven't been approached by the Mayor, I haven't been approached by the Council, okay? I'm just here to tell you a situation that I've been into, and I think the Chief can back me up. When the Fire Department and the Police Department was down to one person, and I was Mayor, and I was still certified to be a police officer in the state of Montana, I was going to volunteer, because he was down to one guy. And I went and checked, and I came in the same thing they just came into. So I couldn't volunteer. And I was fully certified to be a police officer at the time. I don't know if the Chief remembers that conversation, but I certainly do. And I just throw that for your attention, that, what can you say? There's needs. There's needs for the community, there's needs for the Council. That I don't have a fight in this thing. It was just for your information.
Mr. Motley?
As a volunteer fire chief and member of the community, I'd like to thank Bill for his words earlier in tonight's meeting, and Jan's, and everybody's comments. If the fact remains that Brandon does need to make his decision as to which office he is going to hold, if he so chooses not to be a member of the fire department, he will be sorely missed by the department. It really does kind of put us in a little bit of a bind. I appreciate and very thankful to have had his support in his service over the past years in my tenure as chief and my 22 years as a member of the department. So it's a tough decision. I understand the opinions that have been stated tonight and the other opinions that are out there that would be contrary to that. I do think that the Council really does need to take a hard look at this matter. And can we be a community that helps out each other and get over some of these other differences that are clearly stated in statute and or law, or more of an opinion. I would hope that the Council could get over that and see fit to let all volunteers volunteer. If I remember correctly, in the personnel policy, it does ask of the town employees to be volunteers in the community and to serve the community through volunteering in other organizations and community aspects in support of the community. So that was also in the personnel policy, which was also stated tonight. So, thank you.
Thank you. Police Chief Marble.
So, I want to reiterate what the former mayor and former chief said. This is not something I necessarily have an opinion about, per se, but it does seem to me that the core of this issue is administrative. And it seems that, as the fire chief, can't necessarily dismiss somebody without the mayor's say. It would be inappropriate in that circumstance for Mayor Doody to remain in the position. However, is there some sort of legal precedence that has been made other places or could be made to where the president of the council can address disciplinary issues with regards to the fire department personnel, specifically directed towards the city attorney? Don't want to put you on the spot.
So I'm here. That's part of the actual problem. If you actually look at the way the laws are cited, the mayor has the ability to suspend. The mayor also has the ability to appoint. But if the mayor suspends a rank-and-file firefighter all the way up to Chief Motley, ultimately the decision about removal goes to the council, a position that the mayor is not a part of. And that's part of the struggle that I had in making my decision, which I did err on the side of caution and compatible. But the mayor has very limited supervisory control over that firefighter.
So the mayor can't dismiss a fireman per se without consent of the council?
That's my reading.
Okay. So it doesn't appear that there's an administrative conflict necessarily.
The way the very, very scant case law has read, the Click case read by Council President Michelson, is that any level of supervision tends to create incompatibility, and that's where my caution comes from. But ultimately, the council has the authority and power for removal, not the mayor.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Thomas?
Hi. Yeah, I'm in the board of the town. Can I comment?
Craig Thomas, 4189 Ember Lane. It appears here that being a small community, many of us wear more than one hat. And if person X was a volunteer who was also in a position to make a decision upon himself, possibly there could be some agreement between the council and that person that they could not make a decision regarding personal benefits. Because the benefits to the community here are pretty significant. And this person, in Brandon's case, has been involved and capable and a good performer for the community, which is probably how come he was elected mayor. Now you have this conundrum of these two things, am I my own boss, etc. There seems to me that there should be some progressive activity that the town of Stevens Hill could take so that it would dismiss the mayor from the decision-making authority for anything that affected his volunteering in those parameters. So that he, on the council here, the council's making the decisions and the mayor is a facilitator. So that kind of separates it. It's a sticky wicket I see for everyone. But being a small community, I think it is important that some of us may have to wear two or three hats and then dismiss ourselves from any decisions that would make a personal benefit. Does that make any sense? I just see that there's a couple of things there, and he's been a stellar performer in the past, and we need that. And it's also a good example for the fire department if the mayor is there. Now, if the mayor can't make a decision on whether we use hose one or hose two or truck A or truck B, but I can run the ladder and you can't, and there's nobody else here, it's really important to have that person there. So, looks like we need to be a little progressive here so that we can come to some kind of an arrangement where the decision-making authority is removed from the volunteer in the parameters of that particular activity. Thanks.
Madam?
Fran Schmidt, 667 Trish Gulch. I just want to point out two things to the council that's already been said that I would like for y'all to consider when you're considering what you're talking about tonight. And one thing is what was already read by Councilman Michelson. In our code of interest for our city, B2, it says, as a representative of the town of Stevensville, employees are obligated to place the interest of the town in any transaction involving the town ahead of any personal interest or personal gain, and to disclose all facts in any situation where a potential conflict of interest may arise. Now, I don't know about a conflict of interest, but what I do know, the little bit that I know about Mayor Dewey, is that as a representative of our town, as a mayor, and as a volunteer firefighter, I think he's got the interest of our town. He's not only a man who's raising a small family in our community, but he is not only volunteered, he ran for election and was elected by the people of Stevensville knowing that he was a volunteer firefighter. The other thing that I would like to ask you to consider is that the precedents that you're asking, that you're presenting to this council and to this town tonight, is talking about council members, exactly what has already been said, who have voting power. The only time that Mayor Dewey is going to have a voting power to vote on the things that come up about the fire department is going to be if there is a tie situation. And I think that just as was just spoken about, those are logistics that can be worked out rather than us lose a volunteer firefighter who has been a viable part and continues to be a viable part of our community.
Are there any other public comments? Mr. Bill Perrin.
Bill Perrin, 503 Charlotte. I guess it seems to me, I guess we'll have to take a look at, and Brian, I'll be able to ask you, the exemption for volunteer fire departments. If that's valid, it seems to me that we have laws written that, you know, if in fact you're paying someone and they're being paid like a paid fire department, then that may be the case. You know, you may have the conflict, but it looks like to me that there's recognition that because of it's a volunteer system that they're exempt from that. Is that correct?
I respond. Council President Michelson, may I respond to that?
That is correct as far as volunteer status, but there is also retirement pay, which is compensation.
At the end of 20 years, yes.
It's still compensation.
Well, but it isn't. I think that I just would ask if you would allow the attorney to address that if in fact those statutes do exempt that. I mean, that seems big to me.
Council President, can I respond to that?
Go ahead.
2 points. First, when I'm looking at it from the perspective of incompatible offices, the doctrine of common law, that didn't start from the statutes. I was looking at how the actual my analysis was based on how they play out. And then ultimately, when I looked at that particular statute brought up by Chief Motley, it states volunteer companies. Every other statute referenced there is fire departments. This is a statute that was started in 1899. I can't find any other reference to it in the case law. And so I don't necessarily as exempting our fire department from the other provisions in the code.
So you don't think what he read, that portion, it pertains to our fire department?
This statute, once again, started in 1899, says volunteer companies. And if there's clarification from the fire department, there also is a difference between companies and fire departments.
I think the key is volunteer.
Yeah, but we have a fire department.
Yeah, but it's a volunteer fire department.
Correct. All the other statutes that I referenced, talking about the ability of the mayor to appoint, suspend, and all the council to remove, reference the fire department. This is the one-off statute in that section that refers to a volunteer company.
David,
I'm just not comfortable saying that it completely exempts our fire department from all the other statutes. And then once again, when I review it for incompatible offices, it doesn't necessarily apply based on the laws there.
But I think that what I'm saying is that I think the true part of it is it's volunteer. There's a difference between a career department and where they're paid, that's what their job is, and in a case where you have volunteers, it seemed to me like we can read it that way where it works to our benefit, where we can have volunteers that work for the city on the fire department. Anyway, I thought.
Can I speak to Attorney West's question? Our departments are made up of companies. And so you can have one company consists of 28 individuals in a fire company. So depending on your department and your legislative power and your government as to how many companies your department may have. We have volunteer companies within our department. We have one company right now. One company of 28 volunteers within our department. So we are basically a volunteer company within our fire department. So there again, the interpretation has to come back to where do you split that fine line or that hair. Departments are made up of companies, so we have one company within our department.
And just to be clear, once again, constituted under the fire department created by the town of Stevensville, which, as has been presented to me, Mayor Dewey is a volunteer.
Okay.
Any other questions from the public? I'd like to address one small thing that came to mind on the 19th. January, Councilmember Stacy Barker was going through Facebook and she noticed a position advertisement on the Stevensville Fire Department social page of Facebook. It says General Services Clerk, job details, dynamic, motivated, hands-on type needed as General Services Clerk for the town of Stevensville. This full-time position primarily serves all administrative functions of the fire department, with peripheral duties as a mayor's executive assistant. A complete job description and application materials are available on the town's website, as well as Town Hall 206 Buck Street. Send application, cover letter, optional, resume by 5 p.m. Friday, January 19, 2018, to the Human Resources, Town of Stevensville, P.O. Box, Stevensville, Montana, or by email to april@townofstevensville.com. Stacy called me and wanted to know if she would meet me up here at 8 o'clock the next morning, which we did. We asked April, who is the human resource officer, if she had posted this. She said she had not, that in fact Mayor Dewey had posted this. And if you look at the mayor's job descriptions, they do not include job postings. Those belong primarily to the human resources officer. And posting this on a town website on Facebook, in the council's opinion, is not an equal opportunity for everybody. Not everybody has access to Facebook. Not everybody has access to a computer.
Point of order here,
I'm just saying where the conflict of interest lies, where the mayor, I believe, used the fire department site on Facebook to advertise a position that is not under his authority.
Yeah, but we have a point of order. We've moved on to public comment in regards to this, and this is a separate issue that we probably should bring up at a separate time.
Okay.
Sorry. So I would just request if there's no more public comment, then we move to a vote or council comments.
Is there any more council comments?
If I can I ask our attorney?
Yes.
So my question is, do you still feel it's incompatible for him to hold both positions?
To be absolutely clear, I'll stand by my original decision that based on the limited amount of supervision, I have to say that the two positions are incompatible. But if I can just be absolutely clear, I've made no position about any conflict of interest. I know that's some of the discussion that's coming up right now. That's a case-by-case, fact-by-fact situation, and I've made no suggestion to that extent. But I will state that as our rules or our laws play out, Mayor Dew's position, while also serving as a volunteer frontline firefighter, would be incompatible.
Thank you.
Council Member Smith.
I just would like to make a statement that I appreciate everyone of the public coming out tonight and voicing their thoughts in regards to this. Brandon has been valuable to this community for many years. But when I took the oath of office, I made sure that I did it to protect our community also. Yes, he protects us when he's on the fire department, but it is our job as council members to also protect us from liability. That's why you voted for us also. Being that said, all I can go off of is what my attorney that we have hired as our community's attorney to protect us as a community from any liability that may arise out of a perceived or potential conflict. This is basically a situation that when we run for political office, we also need to be aware of our duties on both sides, being a politician and being a community member. Again, I get back to I can only go by the law that I have been presented by our town's attorney. And I really appreciate Brandon stepping up and being mayor. I would hope that he would continue to move forward with this because I see a lot of things that we can do for this community. But again, I get back to why do we pay Mr. West to give us these opinions to protect us as a community and to not listen to the law? And unfortunately, at this time, the law is what Mr. West is telling us to go by. Until we can get an attorney general's opinion that may clear this or rectify this situation, I would highly recommend that we go with the opinion that has to be been presented by our town's attorney that, again, we as a community pay him for. This is unfortunate. Yes, we are a small community, and yes, we rely on every single person to wear multiple hats. But again, we are dealing with the law, and there are extenuating circumstances that are all of our control, and that's where we're at. We are at kind of an impasse that we have to rely on our county's attorney or our town's attorney to guide us, shall we say. I really appreciate everybody's opinion. I appreciate Brandon's volunteerism. I appreciate everybody in our community, especially the fire department, especially the police department. Again, this transcends all the way across to every employee in our town. I'm sure they all have a feeling regarding this. And it affects their job performance, being caught up in this. Again, we have Mr. West here for this specific reason to voice what he just did. And I just have to say that I really appreciate what Brandon's doing. I appreciate his volunteerism, and I really hope that he can continue to move forward with this.
I would also like to say that Mr. Thomas made a great point at being progressive, as possibly working something out where he could do one and recuse himself when it came to fire department issues. The problem lies is there are a lot of fire department issues that come before our council. The very first meeting was two agenda items. Tonight we had a second reading on one. If we had asked Mr. Dewey to recuse himself from every fire department issue, which includes the budget, what would happen during the budget season? We would have to ask Mr. Dewey to recuse himself from taking part of the budget as far as the fire department part of it. That's part of the law. It's quirky, but that's what it is. And that would almost be impossible for Mr. Dewey to do, because him and April, who is our treasurer, they work hand in hand preparing a budget for us every year for the council and for the town. This is a very hard decision for me, as I know Brandon bleeds blue. And some of you out there might think I'm full of BS. You can smile all you want, but it's the truth. It's not about Brandon Dewey. It's about the law.
Bless you, sir.
And the law clearly states from our attorney that the two offices are incompatible. And as a council, our two jobs are to make sure that the laws that are set before us, ordinances and bylaws and resolutions, are our job to be held accountable for, and the budget. That's our only two jobs as a council. And this one falls on us. And unfortunately, it fell right now at this time. This rarely ever happens, sometimes never in a lifetime. But it seemed to happen here, and unfortunately, this is where we are. It's not pretty. I'm not happy about it. But as a council member, I'm torn too. If it was Mark Adams, he ran for mayor. He's also on a volunteer fire department. Mark Adams would be in the same situation. He would ask that he resign from the volunteer fire department or as mayor, because it is a law. And as our city attorney has just stated, in his opinion, the two offices are incompatible.
Are you passing public comment?
Yes.
We did council comments.
Are there any more council comments? If not, I would open it to a vote.
Excuse me, you don't ask me public comment anymore?
I asked for any more public comments. There wasn't none, so I went to council comment. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so there is a motion already on the floor.
There is a motion on the floor for council request of Mayor Dewey to resign his position as a volunteer of the Town of Stevensville Fire Department, Council Member Michelson and Council Member Barker.
Since it's already been moved and seconded, if we just go to
then moved and seconded that we move this to a vote.
Ask for a vote.
I'm asking for a vote.
Okay.
Council Member Holcomb.
Aye.
Council Member Barker.
Aye.
Council Member Smith.
Aye.
Council Member Michelson.
Aye.
This closes this discussion agenda item, and I would turn the agenda and the council meeting back over to Mayor Dewey. Thank you.
Okay. I do have a statement on the matter. So bear with me. My involvement in the fire department began when I was 10 years old. I would attend trainings with my dad, observing at first, then absorbing information and participating as much as I was allowed. Later, a cadet program was established so that I could participate as early as age 14. This was the turning point where I could couple what I had been watching with experience. I would begin putting some of the knowledge I had gained to work. Over the next 12 years, I would contribute to the organization and the community in ways I could only imagine when I first joined the service. Better though, the fire department contributed more to my life than I had expected. There is no aspect whatsoever in my life today that is not somehow connected to the fire department. I have family in the fire department. My very best friends come from within the fire department. My mentors and the advice they lend me comes from the fire department. My ability to be a good husband, father, and person were learned from the men and women who serve or have served this community. I am the leader I am today because of you. My hands have sustained life. My eyes have watched strangers and people I know on a first-name basis suffer alike. And my actions with the other volunteers I've served with have made the worst in humanity bearable for a victim. My experiences have not all been life or death, though. It has been growth, camaraderie, and fulfillment. It is very clear that individuals who sit on this council have concerns about my volunteerism with the fire department. This issue, combined with other dynamics, has felt like a personal attack and has fundamentally crippled the productivity of the council, my office, and the administrative staff here at City Hall. It is apparent that something must be done to move us all forward, to lift the gridlock we find ourselves in, for the sake of the community, so that their government can continue to work for them. I am resigning from the Stevensville Fire Department, effective immediately. Many of you have come tonight in hopes that the council would reverse their actions, and that you may be disappointed to hear my resignation. However, this is not the end of my service to the fire department in Stevensville. Tomorrow morning, I will continue to working with Chief Motley, improving what the city does for you to provide world-class service to Mrs. Smith. Tasha, Carter, and I express our most sincere gratitude for the love and brotherhood you have shared with our family so far. I am humbled to have served alongside you, and even more so, to serve as your mayor and to have a group of capable and distinguished men and women obliged as stewards of my leadership and the public trust. I am proud to be a product of your system. To the council, you now have my resignation from the fire department. It is more important to me that we continue to govern for the people who elected us than to dispute this any further. With that said, if it is the opinion of the Montana Attorney General's office that the office of mayor and being a volunteer firefighter are in fact compatible, I will reconsider my resignation and may rejoin the service. Respectfully, Brandon E. Dewey, Mayor. We'll move on to agenda item B. Those of you who wish to carry on with your evening are sure welcome to do so, although the agenda's full of fun information as well. Agenda item B, discussion decision, approval of agreements between the Town of Stevensville and the Montana Department of Transportation for use of salvaged mill materials. The agreements have been presented to the town's attorney. This is a project where the Department of Transportation is milling Eastside Highway northeast of town. They're giving these millings to us for our use in public works for alleys and roadways. There are two agreements only because there are two projects by the Department of Transportation. But it's basically two sections of highway they're doing, so they had to have two agreements, which you can pass them both simultaneously. Is there a motion from the council?
I move that we move to approve the agreement between the Town of Stevensville and the Montana Department of Transportation for the use of salvaged mill materials.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve the agreements between Town of Stevensville and the Department of Transportation for use of salvage mill materials. Is there any discussion from the council? Any public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll call for the vote.
I'm sorry, can I ask this question?
Yes, absolutely.
Is this the material that's already been...
No.
No,
this is new material.
From the project coming up.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just was asking because the Stevensville School District is also...
I don't know as though, I think they're just giving us whatever portion we've asked for. I don't know the specifics. There may be other agreements out there that they may allocate to certain organizations.
Okay.
So I think in the agreement it does state how much of it we receive.
Okay,
thank you. You're welcome. Any other public comment? Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
And Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, it's been passed. Agenda item C, a discussion decision, consent of mayor's appointment of Renee Endicott and Whitney McBeth to the park board. Ms. Endicott and Ms. McBeth are both here tonight. Their applications were included in the packet. Councilperson Barker.
I would like to make a motion to have the mayor recuse himself from this agenda item as a vested interest.
How do I have an interest?
Mrs. Endicott ran as your treasurer for your campaign.
And I don't personally gain from having her on the park board when the campaign's over.
Fine, I've just asked you to recuse yourself from that decision if it does come down to a tie.
Okay. I don't know as though a tie would happen. If that were the case, I would not vote. Is there a motion on the floor for consent? Councilperson Michelson.
I make a motion. I second that motion. Didn't she start the motion?
No.
No, she made a motion in regards to his recusal. So are you seconding that?
I misunderstood. Did you move to ask me to recuse, or did you just request?
I just made a motion to ask you to recuse yourself from that, but I can make the...
Is there a second for Ms. Barker's motion? Councilperson Michelson.
I second that motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to ask the mayor to recuse himself as chair of the meeting for this agenda item. Is there any council discussion? Any public comment?
I do have a discussion. I'm sorry.
Sure. Go ahead.
When... And if they are approved, I would like to turn over some of the projects that I've been working on interim for the park board at whatever time is available to whoever.
Sure. Is there any further comment on the mayor's recusal from this agenda item? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
No.
Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. I'll recuse the chair to Mr. Michelson.
Okay. We have discussion item C, discussion decision, consent of the mayor's appointment of Renee Endicott and Whitney McBeth to the park board. Are there council comments?
No. We have to make a motion.
Oh, good. There's a motion.
I move that we consent of the mayor's appointment of Renee Endicott and Whitney McBeth to the park board.
Is there a second?
Second motion.
Mrs. Barker seconds the motion. And I'd like to open it for council comments.
Public
comment?
Yes.
I have a comment. As some of you know, I used to serve on the park board, and I worked. I don't know what you know, but I know Renee, and she is a hard charger, and she has done some amazing things for this town. So having her on the park board will be a tremendous asset for us. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Jan Perrin?
I personally worked with both of these people, and they are amazing volunteers, and we would be very fortunate to have them serve in any capacity.
Mrs. Motley?
I would say the exact same thing. I was excited when I saw their names, that they had applied to be on the front board, because I think they would be awesome people to join the group.
Any more public comments?
Council comments.
Okay,
the comments from the council, just say.
Stacy Barker?
I would just like to say I know both of those well, and I'm excited that they're both interested in being on the park board.
I would like to also add that, although I do not know Whitney Macbeth, I'm sure she would be an asset. I do know Renee Endicott from her hard work on putting the playground together out here at the Lewis and Clark Park, and among other things, on the Main Street, and being a volunteer all over town, that she would be a great asset to this community. And the only reason that we were asked to recuse Mayor Dewey was because of the vetted interest of her as a treasurer. It had nothing to do with them at all. Are there any more council comments? Public comments? Hearing none, I ask for the vote. Consent, Mayor's appointment of Renee Endicott and Whitney Macbeth to the Park Board. Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holton.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson votes aye. Thank you, and I'll return the agenda. We'll be back over to Mayor Dewey.
Okay. Moving on to agenda item D, discussion decision consent of Mayor's reappointment to Craig Thomas and Ron McCann to the Airport Board. Both currently serve on the Airport Board. There's no application process for these folks. It's just a simple formality of reappointment. Councilperson Holcomb.
I move that we consent of the mayor's reappointment of Craig Thomas and Ron McCain to the Stevensville Airport Board.
Is there a second? Councilperson Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to consent to the mayor's reappointment of Craig Thomas and Ron McCann to the Airport Board. Is there any council comment? Mr. Smith.
Look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow at 5.
Is there any public comment?
Okay.
Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
And Councilperson Michelson, excuse me.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Next agenda item is agenda item E. Discussion decision on complete the fencing at Father of Valley Park to include 100% enclosure with at least 4-foot gates. This is brought forward by Jim Cruz and Councilmember Michelson. Mr. Cruz doesn't seem to be in the...
He's back there.
Okay, well, Mr. Cruz.
Yes.
Your agenda item is forward.
Oh.
Would you like to introduce it?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, discussion decision, complete the fencing of Father Valley Park, including 100% enclosure with at least 4-foot gates. Father, I sent this item when I was mayor to the park board because we need to do something out of Father Valley Park. If you go down and look at the park, you'll find out that on the north and south ends, on the east side and in the middle, there's a fence opening that kids can run back and forth through, go right out on College Street, and God help them, they got a 15 mile an hour speed limit sign out there that almost nobody obeys. I mean, I've seen cars run 40 mile an hour out there, no problem. And as spring is approaching, already when the snow disappeared, the kids are coming out to play at the park. So I'm really concerned that the kids are going to continue running out into the street, as we've seen them do a dozen times. And on the northwest corner of the park, which is Dean Vance's fence, there's about a 6-foot high opening that's been cut in the fence, about 4 feet wide. And there are bare ends of the chain link fence hanging out, and it's going to get somebody hurt. If somebody goes through there fast in the dark or even in the daylight, they're going to snag an eye or something on that fence. And then on the south end of the park, there's no fencing whatsoever, all the way across the Mormon Church parking lot out there. And then the southwest corner of the park needs to have the rest of its fence put in. What I'd like to see, and I think what a lot of people in my community that I've talked to would like to see, is that fencing completed, put the gates in, put self-closing gates in, so so that when a small child goes in the gate, lets go, the gate closes. That way they make a conscious effort to get out the gate. In addition to that, this park is used by many dog walkers, and I know that this time of year, the leavings of the dogs gets a little bit bad out there, but some of us do try to go out there with a bucket and pick it up. So if we had this park completely fenced, it would give the town an opportunity to have at least a part-time dog park. When the kids aren't out there, you could go in the gate and let the dog run for a little bit, because we don't have anything like that here in Stephenville. You go to Hamilton, you got that, but you got nothing here. And in addition, the next part of that agenda item, I guess we'll address when we come to it. So that's what I'm looking at trying to get done. There are some monies that were donated to the town through the Jean Thomas Estate for betterment, improvement, beautification of the parks. I think that the council could, as you guys are getting ready to do some kind of budget amendment, you could do a little bit of a budget amendment, pull some of those funds out of the Jean Thomas Fund, put it in the budget, and make some expenditures to help prepare this park. We've done a lot of work over here in Lewis Clark Park, but our park is kind of suffering. Thank you.
From my standpoint as the executive, while you very well could tonight authorize to enclose the park completely using some of the dedicated Jean Thomas funds, that would need to be included in the budget amendment. However, I'm hesitant to put a project like that forward without first seeing the park board's master plan for parks. I think that this is something that the council could defer to the park board to ask them to consider when developing their master park plan. And to that, I'll leave it up to the council for however they'd like to proceed. Councilperson Holcomb.
That's what we've always agreed upon, that it go to the park board first, and then the park board brings, and now that we, I believe we have a full park board now.
Yeah, we're still missing one, but we have a quorum.
But we have, okay.
There is a quorum.
I think this needs to go back to the park board and bring, and if you could include this in the park board master plan for the parks, I would like to have that come forward to us.
Okay. Is there any further council comment on the item? Or is there a decision? Mr. Smith.
I would move that we, I make a motion that we complete the fencing at Father of Valley Park to include 100% enclosure with at least 4-foot gates.
Is there a second? Okay, motion fails for a second, for lack of a second. Anything else? Okay. We'll move on then. Agenda item F. We're getting there. Discussion decision to make needed repairs to Father Valley Park. Again, this is brought forward by Mr. Cruz.
Okay, to go along with the previous agenda item, there's quite a few things down at the park that need to be fixed. There are on the southeast end of the park ruts in the ground that some of them are 6 to 8 inches deep. When the old play set was moved from Lewis Clark Park over to that park, the truck left some deep ruts in the ground. These ruts, when it snows, are covered up, creating a tripping hazard to the point where you could potentially break a leg in those holes. In addition to that, over by the fire hydrant on the south side, you have water shutoff valve stems coming up out of the ground. I think one of them sticks up over 6 inches, and the depression over there is about probably close to a foot deep. It is a tripping hazard. When there's a lot of snow, you walk through there, you can catch that, and you can probably gouge your ankle pretty deep. The swing set, is missing two of the three swings. Okay. Also, when Northwest Energy went out and bored the holes, for the new conduits running up into the local community over there to put new power cables in. They tore the ground up pretty good over by the swing set, so you got 5 or 6 inch piles of dirt running right there, and they're tripping at it in low light. And I guess that's about it. Oh, we're missing some benches out there that were removed during Kramer's picnic and never taken back. I personally went and grabbed a couple of them and brought them back over there, but altogether we had 6 over there. It'd be nice if we could get the rest of them back. Because as the spring gets here, the kids are going to want to go out there, and they go out there and they sit down and they eat their lunches. They don't have any place to eat, so they'll sit on the ground and throw the trash everywhere. Thank you.
These concerns were brought at least forward to me and the clerk through separate correspondence, and those were passed on to Public Works Director George Thomas, and he indicated that they were being addressed as weather permitted. How would the council like to proceed? Okay, is okay?
I'm okay with it going to George.
Okay. Any other comment from the council? Okay. We'll move on to the executive report. I'd like to welcome aboard our new general services clerk, Brittany Rhodes. Brittany lives here in Stevensville and was the only candidate in the pool that brings fire service experience to the table. We're excited to see her positive attitude and the efficiency in which she completes her tasks, which we've noticed already. She started on February 1st, and we're delighted to have Brittany on board. Welcome. April reported tonight on the status of the surplus sale of property. The sale brought in more than we anticipated for revenue, which is a good thing. We can certainly use the cash. There are a few miscellaneous items left that we will dispose of by month's end, since they are occupying space in the fire station. The budget amendments, a resolution has been drafted. April tweaked a few things to Dave due to some revenue we saw that we didn't anticipate. So that'll be available for you this week. I think April anticipates having that resolution available for you guys tomorrow. So we will have a public hearing on the budget amendment scheduled prior to our regular council meeting on February 26th. So that, remember, that amendment includes modifications to the budget that were required by state statute. We have to do those. In other news, turn the projector off. I wasn't done. I'm sorry, but this is really important. Public Works Director George Thomas and I met with HDR Engineering under our master services agreement we have with them on Thursday to discuss renovations to 3rd Street, Spring Street, and Peterson Place. I intended to share a map with you all of the scope of the work. Hot hands kind of got ahead of us. Nonetheless, what we anticipate, based on discussions from the previous budget cycle, was that a complete repaving of 3rd Street, Spring Street, and Peterson Place would take place this summer. Coupled with that, we hope to make some pedestrian improvements to sidewalks. We have some sidewalk funds that we'd like to pair with that project to improve the sidewalks between Main and the school. Here it is. Just give it a minute for now. In addition, on Spring Street, there are a couple of culverts that they're considering replacement of or improvement of those culverts to help with runoff and drainage. So the process at this point is HDR is kind of putting some preliminary plans together that so we kind of have a better idea of what the scope of this project will be as far as cost is concerned, because we kind of took a shot in the dark based on the Park Avenue project we did previously in the budget. So what you'll see coming forward from me is this possibly one, maybe even two workshops or meetings with the council and public to kind of inform them about the project on 3rd Street and the surrounding neighborhoods, to kind of give them an idea of what they'd like to see. No matter what, we got to repair the asphalt of those streets. They've reached the end of their lifespan. So that's kind of what's going on there. So again, that's from Main Street to Park Avenue and then the loop of Spring Street and Peterson Place. To that, we'll turn it over to town council comments.
When you say resurface, is that resurface or dig up?
They call it mill and fill. It's a very elaborate engineering term. Ms. Barker.
So I can comment on this, correct?
Oh, sure.
So this is the first time. I know we set aside in the budget for a certain amount of this. We obviously have to have a budget process of amending and everything else when this comes through. Are we going to put ourselves in jeopardy by going and doing this, plus having the other project that we have down at the water plant and putting us...
I don't know as though we have any other project going on at the water plant.
We have the new updating version of the guy doing the app. So there's, okay, so I just wanted to make sure that we're not over...
Right, water and sewer is its own, like, entity, okay. So we can't use funds out of there, okay. Like, in general, this is general fund streets, gas tax.
So my other question is, are you going to start working on putting together proposals for budget, or for bids and stuff, too?
Absolutely, yeah, and that'll all come, that'll all be involved, the council will all be involved in that. So it may not necessarily be a formal council meeting. What we may do is do some sort of workshop where we can have an open discussion about the project, what the priorities of the council are, what the priorities of the public are, and have an open facilitation of that. So certainly, by no means am I going to come into the office tomorrow morning and sign a construction contract with Knife River to repave the street in June. That won't happen. Okay? So certainly, boy. Council comments. Go ahead. Mr. Smith.
I, again, would like to thank the public for coming out tonight and voicing their support for Brandon. I'd like to congratulate Mr. Brandon, Mr. Dewey, our mayor, on taking an approach that most may not have enjoyed, shall we say, that we're in favor of you doing this. This, to me, is a clear sign that we can move forward as a council and really make our community the best it can be for all of us. And thank you to those two young ladies sitting there next to Jan Perrin. Good job, guys.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Michaels.
Yeah, I would just like to bring up one thing on the council agenda items. I noticed that for the first time in my memory, we have Councilmember Michelson, Councilmember Barker, Councilmember Cruz, Councilmember Michelson. May I ask for the reason for that? Or if there is, if we're starting to do this on a regular basis now, I would like that to be included on every item agenda for every person to make it fair and equitable. Otherwise, this could be considered as flagging or bullying, considering the agenda item. This is, contacted the previous clerk, Nancy Lowell, and she said in her memory that had never been put on council agendas.
Mayor, can I respond to that, please?
Ms. Bartlett, go ahead.
So, Councilmember Michelson, historically, not this administration, but historically in my time here, we used to do that. If it wasn't the mayor submitting the agenda item, so people knew who are the ones that were going to be speaking, if we have somebody doing a presentation, we always put their name on that agenda item. Now, maybe we didn't do it recently in the past, but we've done it historically. So that's why the names were on there. These weren't agenda items that were presented by the mayor for the council to decide on. These are agenda items that you and Councilmember Barker have brought forward. That's why your name is on there. So if it was somebody giving a presentation, their name would be on there. That's the only reason.
This is my third year here, and I've never seen this until tonight.
It is not the intent of the administration to bully or harass or flag agenda.
I'm not saying it was. I'm saying it could be perceived. Okay. I'm just saying it's never been done in my past. My two, going on 3 years as a council member, I've never seen this done.
Okay. And it's noted. Any other council comments? Ms. Holcomb.
I would just like to say welcome to Britain.
Thank you. Great
night. I forgot that also.
I'd also say congratulations.
Welcome to our nightmare.
Okay, board reports. Mr. Michelson?
Yes, I have a planning and zoning board report.
Okay.
We had a planning and zoning meeting last week, and we discussed a proposal approach at 316 Main Street for Fred Thomas. He wants more parking space. Right behind the VP office there, across from the bank. And upon discussion, the planning and zoning board approved it. We also approved officers, the chairman was elected with John Kellogg, the vice chairman with Dan Ritter, and the secretary with Bob Michelson. And the meeting was adjourned.
Mr. Smith.
I wasn't able to make it to the first airport board that I was required to, but I did make it to the Saturday meetings that they have at the airport. Was welcomed by all of the pilots, open arms, and lots of comments. Looking forward to tomorrow's meeting, actually, with the board itself. Just kind of an information, we did receive the DNRC grant regarding the Arbor Day tree planting ceremony that we typically have in the community. And I will be turning all that over to the Park and Recreation Advisory Board for their decision. We did have to pick a date for the community cleanup and tree planting. And we chose April 28th, being at the end of the April. Typically, that's when we've kind of had it. If you guys want to choose to put it as a different date, you're more than welcome. It was just we had to put a date on that grant form. So, in essence, that gives us $300 to put on that event, buy donuts, hamburgers, food, whatever, and a tree, typically. So that'll all come to you guys. And again, thank you very much for stepping up for the community.
Any other board reports? Ms. Holcomb.
Did Julie Foster ever get with anybody about a TIF TED meeting this month?
She sent you guys an agenda a couple weeks ago. So it's Thursday night. I'll send you a reminder.
Okay.
Yeah, she sent you, because I think... The board members, if I remember, it was a couple page email because you guys had kind of assigned little things you were going to research on, and she set kind of the agenda then.
Okay. So, I couldn't remember because I haven't seen the new one from her. So
I'll find it and I'll push it
okay.
to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
But it's Thursday night, the 15th.
Okay. Ms. Parker.
We have not had a park board in quite some time. I'm very excited that now we have two members and they actually are full. Again, that we can move forward and hopefully finish up with our master plan that we have finished in like October, I believe. So.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn? Ms. Person Holcomb.
I move we adjourn.
Second. Ms. Parker.
Second motion.
Okay. Meeting's adjourned.